Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
And then on Sunday, the Major League Baseball draft, the Washington Nationals have the 10th overall pick. I thought, if you don't mind, Tobes, we could take a quick stab at the top of the draft board. I'll be hosting all the MLB draft coverage over on MLB Network Radio, so I've actually had the opportunity to interview and spend time talking to almost all of the projected early first rounders, which has been really, really cool. I'll be in Texas, kind of on site at the Stockyards in Fort Worth for the draft, and we'll do maybe an emergency pod as soon as we can thereafter. But with the 10th pick, the big question is what happens for the Nationals? So I guess my rough breakdown would be a lot of the huge names are going to be well gone. You know, Travis Bezzana, arguably the best bat in the country out of Oregon State, is either going to go first, second overall. Charlie Condon, who's the gigantic Georgia slugger, who's 6'6", and just mashed all college season long. He's a top five pick. The two-way superstar from Florida, Jack Caglione, is going to go in the top 3 to 5. J.J. Weatherholt, I've had some scouts and people that cover the draft tell me he's the best hitter they've seen as an amateur out of West Virginia. He's probably going to be in the top 5 or 6. Are one of the arms going to fall maybe to the Nationals? Certainly not the top two guys. Hagen Smith, lefty at Arkansas, 20 years old, could be the best pitcher in this class, certainly the best southpaw in this class, will likely be gone before the Nats pick at 10. And Chase Burns, the righty from Wake Forest, who throws 100 miles an hour, the most electric stuff in this class, 6'3", 210, he'll unequivocally be gone. So the question then becomes, does anybody slide and fall into their lap in this college-heavy group in the top 10? First baseman from Wake Forest, Nick Kurtz, as an example, this monster 6'5", 240-pound power hitter who led the nation with 78 walks this year despite missing time. Has a great idea at the plate. I think he would be a godsend for the Nationals at a position where they really don't have anybody. My guess is he goes 7 or 8, doesn't get past 9, but maybe he falls into their lap. To me, that would be a dream scenario. Braden Montgomery is a name to keep in mind. He had a broken ankle in the College World Series tournament that kept him from playing, you know, in the final. But this is a guy who, despite breaking his right ankle and rehabbing, is probably going to go in the top 10. He is a super talented player, belted 27 homers this spring after transferring to Texas A&M. He is a 50 hitter who's probably a 60 power guy and a 70 arm in the field. Now, the Nats are pretty loaded with outfielders, so to add another one that's close would be curious. Having said that, you don't really draft that way, you know, especially at 10. If you got a chance to draft a guy that you think could be a stud at the big league level, you got to do it. Would they go with the high schooler at number 10 just because that's where the value is? There's two guys. One is named Connor Griffin, who is from Mississippi. He's 18 years old. He's huge. He's 6'4", 215, probably going to end up in the outfield. And he is a very fast, very powerful player. 60 power, 65 runner, 70 arm, huge tools. He had 87 stolen bases, Toby, in 88 games this year as a prep star. I mean, think about that. He's interesting to me. Bryce Rayner is the other of the best high schoolers in the country. He is 19. He's a year older at 6'3", 195, but he's got legit power. Seems like a really advanced approach at the plate as well. He's from a baseball factory, Harvard Westlake. That's where Giolito and Max Fried and Jack Flaherty and so many other guys have come from. So those are some of the names, I think, that are going to be right around the 10th pick. If the Nats really do want to go with an arm, the one that might be there for them is Trey Yesavage from East Carolina, who's a 20-year-old right-hander who I think would actually make a lot of sense, frankly, if that's what they wanted to do. He does not have the ceiling, probably, as a couple of like the high schoolers that I just named. But Yesavage, again, if you want to go arm, it's 99th percentile. When you look at some of the stuff scores for him, with the fastball shape and movement and release height. You know, his release height being 99th percentile, he draws these comps to Justin Verlander, Tyler Wells in that regard. Fastball vertical break is above average. Got a hard cutter slider to righties. For lefties, a splitter curveball that has like a Felix Bautista shape to it. Slider, 60% swing and miss rate. Top three pitch swing and miss rate in this class. He was the American Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Year. Third time in 4 years, a member of that staff at ECU. Could go in the top couple rounds. Gavin Williams, Carson Wisenhunt before him. And this past year, he had a 2.02 ERA, which was number four in the nation. He was number five in strikeouts. He was number two in average against at 154. So maybe he is like the third best pitcher in the country would be the guy that they take. Those are some of the names I just wanted to throw out there. I'll let you take it where you want to. But the draft, 10th pick Sunday, very, very excited.
Yeah, I think the big thing here, Grant, is if you're a Nationals fan, you want to root for some surprise picks early. You know, whether it's, you know, Bezzana and Condon are going to be gone, Caglione's going to be gone, but maybe a Weatherholt slips a little bit, or I would love, my dream scenario, one of the top two pitchers slips. I don't know that those things are going to happen, but if maybe you get some of the high schoolers taken a little bit early, I think the Nationals, if they could choose, would like to go one of these college guys because of the success they had in the draft last year, going very college heavy. But it's going to be interesting because if you get to 10, you know, that there's really a solid top 10, a really good top 10. Once you get past that, there's some guys that maybe are, just don't have the ceiling of some of these top 10 prospects. But, you know, this is where it sucks that the Nationals are picking 10th, because they're probably going to have, you know, the last pick of these guys, or they're going to have to settle for someone with maybe a little bit of a lesser ceiling. But I think they're going to want to go to college. But if they're all the college guys are taken, maybe they go with one of these guys. Connor Griffin, you mentioned, is really intriguing, a really tooled up high schooler. But we've seen them take really tooled up high schoolers in the past. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm intrigued by this, because I think that, you know, if they're able to add a college, whether it's an arm or a bat, you know, that's something that's looking at the timeline for the Nationals, where if you're Mike Rizzo and you're thinking ahead a little bit, I think they would help the timeline. You know, you're going to take the best player available, whether it's a high schooler or a college guy. But I would think they would like to go with college, because maybe they can have somebody that can come in, and whether it's help the rotation or help at first base, and you're looking at 2025 at the end there, maybe this guy could come up, or early 2026. And so you can have them on the field with some of these guys, you know, with Cruz and Wood, versus having to wait for a high schooler. I think ideally they want to go with a college, a bat or arm, but we'll see how it falls. And this, it really sucks with this stupid MLB draft lottery stuff that they decided to implement in a year where the Nationals would have been picking much higher. It's unfortunate for the Nats that they got this, but luckily there are, you know, a consensus top 10 or so. And so picking 10th, they should still get a start.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess let's just finish this way. Let's go dream pick, likely pick. And if there's something you'd be disappointed by, like position or anything else, I guess we could do that. But let's go dream pick first for you.
Dream pick would be, I'll go Hagen Smith. I like him a little bit more than Chase Burns. Now it'd be another lefty in the rotation. That'd be a dream pick. I don't think he's slipping to 10. It would be a dream if Hagen Smith could be there at 10.
Okay. Yeah. And as you're saying, extremely unlikely, but we're having our dream play out here. I'm going to go a little more realistic with my dream, I guess, but I also don't think it's happening. I would say Nick Kurtz from Wake Forest, the first baseman with all the power, who's probably going to go in the 6 to 8 range. No, whereas Hagen Smith's in like the 3 to 5 range. But I'll say Kurtz somehow falls. And, you know, we've talked so much about not having a power hitting first baseman, and where does that come from? And are they going to go spend this offseason? Like, he could be a really quick mover. That's a guy who could be in the major leagues next season, maybe by the end of the year already. And by 2 seasons from now, be a real power influence in the middle of your lineup. So I would say that would be a dream scenario. If we're going a little more unrealistic, I'll throw Chase Burns out there, or you know, you and Hagen Smith. Like, give me an electric arm that moves fast and has a chance to be a dude in front of your rotation. That would be fun. How about a realistic, likely selection that you would like?
Yeah, I think it ends up being one of the high school likely, and if that's the case and you're choosing between the two, or if your choice gets made for him, I'm fine with either high schooler, but I prefer Connor Griffin, just a really tooled up guy with so much ability. And with the Nationals, I know it hasn't been long, but at least their recent showing that they can develop some of these guys. I know some of them haven't been developed. We think of Elijah Green, but you think about, you know, majority of the seems like guys are taking steps forward. I'm not as opposed to take one of these tooled up high schoolers that might take a little bit more development. So I would say Connor Griffin is someone that if they end up taking a high schooler, I'd be pretty excited about him.
Totally agree with you. That would be mine as well. I think he fits well with what they're doing with the speed and a lot of the ways that they want to play baseball as well. But a big 6'4" and a big league body already for a guy who was the National Gatorade High School Player of the Year for baseball. That'll do it for Bustin' Loose Baseball on this episode 133. We will be back over the weekend at some point to react to all of the goings on out in Texas with some of the young Nat stars. Thanks so much for listening. For Toby, I'm Grant saying so long. Producer Darris Dameron making it sound good. We will be back this weekend. Enjoy Nats baseball.